بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 34th session, reading from التوضيح والبيان لشجرة الإيمان, the clarification and elucidation of the tree of faith, مع الإمام عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله. Again, and we are very, very close to the completion of this tremendous and a wonderful book, with the final any fruits that the author, rahimahullah, has mentioned. Before we look at the next one, which is next to the last, I want to quickly review some of the points that we covered last week from the modified question and study guide for lecture number 33. The first question being, what does Iman guide the mu'min to at times of fear, as mentioned in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 183rd Ayah? What does Iman guide the mu'min to at times of fear? Now, okay, now, Father, Talib.
It guides a believer to put his trust in Allah and have confidence.
Put his trust in Allah, confidence?
And have confidence in the promise of Allah.
And confidence in the promise of Allah.
And the fear vanishes and is replaced with tranquility.
And fear is vanished, yani, replaced with tranquility. Yani, when the person is in a state of fear and they turn back to Iman, Iman guides them, directs them, yani, to find comfort in Iman, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It also increases them in their Iman and their steadfastness and courage, which yani eliminates, removes the fear from their hearts which has afflicted them. And this is yani understood from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning those who said to the believers, to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people have gathered yani against you, so fear them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَزَادَهُمْ إِمَانًا. So this increased them in Iman. Yani when they turn back to their Iman, seeking guidance and direction and comfort, Allah increased them in Iman. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And they said, Allah is sufficient for us, and He is the best wakil, the one to dispose of our affairs. So they are increased in Iman, and they are increased in strength, strengthening their tawakkul on Allah, yani reliance and dependence upon Allah is strengthened, and also their confidence and trust in the promise of Allah, yani the promise of victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, support and help and aid and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second question, what does Iman guide the mu'min to when one is enjoying the condition of al-amnu, safety and security? Yani at the time of amnu, when the person turns back to their Iman, what does it guide them to? Yani first and foremost, it prevents them from becoming proud and arrogant, and it humbles them so that they humble themselves, yani knowing that this state of amnu, of safety and security, is from Allah. It's the favor of Allah. Allah is the one who has facilitated them, facilitated this for them, and therefore they express gratitude, appreciation, and thankfulness to the one who blessed them with the amnu and the causes that lead to it. And they also yani recognize that if they have success over their enemies, that this is from the strength and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not from theirs. Question number three, what does Iman guide the mu'min to when there's a mistake here, and any type of mistake? It should say, what does Iman guide the mu'min to when one has success? It says one is success. And it could be is successful, but in any case, one either way like this, when one has success in being obedient to Allah and doing righteous deeds. What does Iman guide one to? When one has success in being obedient to Allah and doing righteous deeds. This is a very important matter. Yes, that the Shaykh discussed. Now,
The Iman guide guides the ones to thankfulness, because had it not been Allah's will, one would not be able to achieve these goals.
Okay, thankfulness, knowing that it's by the permission of Allah that they have achieved this. Yeah, any state of being in obedience to Allah. Anything else? Huh?
Humble?
It humbles them because they know this is from Allah. This is not through their own yani, power or ability. Now, the author also mentions, yani, very importantly, that not only do they recognize, acknowledge, that this is a favor from Allah upon them, and that this is a greater favor than the other favors of well-being and yani, provisions and sustenance and things like this, but also it guides them to be diligent and eager in seeking to complete and perfect the good deeds that Allah has enabled them to do, to complete and perfect them. And also to do whatever is necessary. Yani to use the necessary means to assure that these deeds would be accepted by Allah and would not be rejected. This is very important, that Iman guides the believer when they're doing good deeds to be diligent and not being satisfied that you have done the good deed, but rather be diligent in seeking to complete and perfect it in the way that Allah is yani, entitled for it to be done for him. And not that it be defective. And also to use every necessary means to make sure that it is accepted by Allah. Because when you do a good deed, there's no guarantee that Allah has to accept it. And finally he said, and then they ask Allah. Not only do they make the effort to complete and perfect it and to do what's necessary in order to be accepted, but then they supplicate to Allah, asking Him to accept it and asking Him to enable them to perfect whatever yani they have fallen short in reference to those deeds. Question number 4, what does Iman guide the mu'min to when one is tested or tried with having fallen into disobedience to Allah? Naam, Abdul Wali.
They rush to make tawbah is by performing all this right, is by asking Allah to perfect their deeds.
Now, they rush to perform tawbah, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, they do whatever they're able to do of good deeds in order to make up for, yani, the defect or the shortcoming due to having committed the sin. Yani, hastening to repentance and as well, hastening to doing good deeds that make up for yani, the shortcoming, the sins or acts of disobedience that one has fallen into. The last question, number 5, mentions some of the 18 thamarat, fruits, and or fawaid, benefits of Iman listed by the author. Let's mention some of them from the beginning. The first two, most importantly, yani, na'am, wali, wilayat Allah is khasa, that yani, earning the special guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, Ridwan Allah, earning the pleasure of Allah in His place of honor. And number 3, that Iman prevents a person from entering the fire at all, or at least prevents them from remaining in it eternally. Number 4, protection from harm and evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects those who believe, the people of Iman. Number 5, Al-Hayat al-Tayyibah, yani the enjoying, yani the good life, especially yani the peace and tranquility and comfort of the heart and contentment with what Allah has decreed. Number 6, that one's actions, every action and every speech is only considered to be valid, to be acceptable, to be complete and perfect in accordance with whatever is in that person's heart of Iman and Ikhlas. Any actions and deeds are accepted, they are valid, and they are completed and perfected in accordance with the Iman and the Ikhlas that's in the heart of the one who is doing that deed or saying that speech. Number 7, guidance ila sirat al-mustaqim. Yani, that from the fruits of Iman is that Iman is the cause due to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides a person to the straight path and upon the straight path. Number 8, tasliyah, first, the comfort and consolation that the believers yani, experience at the time of trials and tribulations or afflictions. And then after that, somebody said love. Mahabba, that Allah places love into the hearts of the believers for the people of Iman. And number 10, raising the ranks. Arifah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the rank, the station, the status of the people of Iman, and additionally for the people of Ilm, yani the believers who have knowledge. Number 11,
attaining success.
Okay, before that,
attaining the gifts of Allah.
Okay, the gifts of Allah, what is intended by that, just so that it's clear, is al-bishara, bi-karamatillah. Yani the receiving of the glad tidings, the good news, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to honor someone. Al-bishara, bi-karamatillah. And after that?
Attaining
success. Before that he mentioned? In the English translation, it's not mentioned separately. It's mentioned under the next one, but actually in the Arabic text, it's mentioned separately as a separate fruit of Iman, and that is Al-Maghfirah, forgiveness. And then after that, he mentioned success, Al-Huda wal-Falah. And then after that, he mentioned benefiting, Al-Intifa' min al-Mawa'id wal-Ayat wal-Tazkir. Yani that the believer, because of their Iman, they actually benefit from reminders, from signs. And they benefit from exhortation and admonition. They accept the admonition, the exhortation, and they act upon it. And after that, he mentioned
patience
and gratitude, ash-shukr wa sabr, being patient at the time of trials and being grateful when one receives good. And then he mentioned after that the doubts laid to rest. Yani the elimination of doubts. Iman is the source of rejection of doubts, removing doubts from a person's mind. And number, I don't know numbers anymore because English and Arabic, the numbers are different, but now, after that he said, the shelter, the malja, that Iman is the malja, is the shelter, the refuge, the sanctuary for the people of Iman that they go back to in every situation or circumstance, always going back to Iman, yani for any guidance, direction of how a person is supposed to act in that condition or circumstance. What ibadah is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of fear, at the time of security, at the time of obedience, of disobedience, and so on. Yani turning back to Iman. And then there's at least one more or so, but we didn't reach yet. That was the last one we did, right? Okay, alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. Taib. And by the way, I intend to copy a listing of the fruits of Iman that's written in rhyme. Yani? All of them. Yani listed one by one, and some detail for some of them as well that could be memorized to help us to remember all of these tremendous fruits of Iman. So inshallah, I'll make a copy. I'll make copies of it. I intended to do it today, but it's running a little bit late. Tayyib. Okay, so tonight, inshallah, we're going to take the next fruit that the author, rahimahullah, mentions. Somebody help me with the page. Oh no, I'm sorry, not the next fruit. We didn't finish the last fruit. Remember, there's something remaining from the last fruit? That is related to the hadith, related to the parable of the believer. That is like the parable, the believer is like a horse that's tied. So that is on, the Prophet ﷺ said on the bottom of page 81, and then it's mentioned what remains from the English translation, point number 16, faith is the recourse of the believer. What remains from that is on the last line of page 81 and the top of page 82. Now, so the author, rahimahullah, says, and in Arabic it's on page 85 in the middle of the page. The author says, this is under the fruit of what? That Iman is the malja for the believers. Yani it's the place of refuge, their sanctuary, that they turn to in every situation or circumstance. Here the author mentions this parable, and then he summarizes this particular fruit, and then we go to the next one. So he says, وَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ كَالْفَرَسِ الْمَرْبُوتِ فِي آخِيَتِهِ يَجُولُ مَا يَجُولُ ثُمَّ يَعُودُ إِلَىٰ آخِيَتِهِ. So this hadith is mentioned, yani according to our footnotes, it says أخرجه ابن المبارك في الزهد من طريقه ومن طريقه أحمد, yani Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, and Abu Ya'la from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, and Ibn Ibban said that it was sahih, and Shaykh al-Albani in Silsila al-Hadith al-Da'ifa said that it was da'if. So there's some discussion concerning the authenticity of this hadith, which we'll just touch on just briefly. But before that, I want to look at the actual wording. I went back to some of the books of hadith to look at the wording, as how this hadith came. Slightly different wording than we have in the text here. Same meaning, but just some extra words. It came in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, this particular hadith from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِي وَمَثَلُ الْإِيمَانِ. Yani here it has what? مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِي وَمَثَلُ الْإِيمَانِ. Yani the likeness or the parable or the example of the believer and iman, and the likeness of iman, the believer and iman. كمثل الفرس is like the example of the horse. على آخيته. Yani attached to the horse that is tied to its آخية. يجول ثم يرجع إلى آخيته. In some of the narrations and other narrations, it's also narrated from Abdul ibn Umar. And the same wording is there, except he said, يَجُولُ مَا يَجُولُ, like it came in the book. ثُمَّ يَرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ آخِيَتِهِ. In this narration, or in these two narrations, there's some extra wording in the hadith. And we want to mention that because the Shaykh mentions it as a part of his explanation. But it came in the text of the hadith itself, yani, that the likeness of the believer and the likeness of iman is the likeness of a horse that is tied to its آخِيَة. Yani آخِيَة, different scholars explain it in different ways, but basically what it is, it's like a stick or a pole or a rope that's fastened, yani that's put into the earth so that it won't move. And then the rope that's around the neck of the horse is tied to that post. Is tied to that post so that the horse can't go but so far. Can go around, roam here and there, but always has to go back to that holding post. So he says here that this is the example of the believer, the example of iman. Yani the believer is like a horse, and the iman is the akhir, the post that he's tied to, that he can go around a little bit, but he can't really get too far away from it. Always has to return to it. In this narration, he says, ثُمَّ يَرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ أَخِيَتِ. And then he says, وَإِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَسْهُ ثُمَّ يَرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ الْإِيمَانِ. Yani that the mu'min sometimes is distracted, neglectful, omitting some duties, falling into some acts of sin, ثُمَّ يَرْجِعِ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ. Then he returns to the أَخِيَة, meaning to his iman. That's the source that he always has to, that's his foundation. And he always goes back to that, no matter if he slips and slides and commits a sin, but he always goes back to al-iman. This is how it came narrated in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, and also in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban. And in the narration of Suyuti, al-Jami al-Kabir, he said, وَكَذَلِكَ. He said, after he mentioned that the horse, and it goes, roams around, and then it returns back to its akhiyah. He said, وكذلك المؤمن يقترف ما يقترف. Like, just like that, the believer, يعني may commit some sin. ثم يرجع إلى الإيمان. And then he always returns back to his iman. So I'll suffice with that. Except I'm going to mention, يعني in the Sahih Ibn Hibban, yani the chapter heading that he placed for this hadith, he said, ذِكْرُ الْإِخْبَارِ أَمَّا يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمَرْءِ مِنْ لُزُومِ التَّوْبَةِ وَالْإِنَابَةِ عِنْدَ السَّهْوِ وَالْخَطَأِ. Yani the mention, yani of the إخبار, yani the narrations that came concerning what is obligatory upon a person from adhering to, sticking to, yani tawbah, repentance, turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of sahw. Or khata, yani at the time that a person makes a mistake, errs, slips, or commits a sin, that it is obligatory to go back, turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perform tawbah. And this is the returning to the akhiyah, or returning to one's iman, because iman guides that person when they commit a sin to do what? To turn back to Allah, to hasten to the repentance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then to try to perform deeds, good deeds that yani remove or erase the evil deed, yani the sin that a person has committed. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, in his commentary concerning this narration, he says, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَمَثَلُ الْإِيمَانِ. Yani the likeness of the believer and the likeness of iman is like the horse that's tied to its akhiyah. It goes, it roams here and there, ثُمَّ يَعُودْ إِلَىٰ آخِيَتِهِ. Then it always returns back to its holding post. يعني it always returns to Iman. The Shaykh, he says, وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فِي إِسْنَادِهِ كَلَامٍ لَكِنْ مِنْ حَيْثُ الْمَعْنَى الْمَعْنَى الصَّحِيِّ. So this hadith, there is some kalam, يعني there is some discussion amongst the scholars of hadith concerning its يعني authenticity, if it has some weakness or whatever. There's some difference of opinion concerning it. He said, however, the meaning of it is correct. The meaning of it is correct. That it is a fact that the believer may roam from, they may go away from their holding post, yani from their station, from their foundation of Iman, and might commit a sin, might do some act, yani forgetfully, unmindfully, knowingly, whatever, but they always, the believer always returns to Iman. So he said, this is a beautiful parable, yani related to this particular topic, that the believer always goes back to the Iman. And then he explained that the akhiyah is like a stick or a rope or something that is fastened, that is implanted tightly in the earth, and the horse is tied to it by a rope that yani is around the neck of the horse and tied to that post so that the horse can have some movement. But it, no matter which way it goes and whichever direction it likes, it always has to come back to Iman. So he said, this is because he said the horse being tied to this post can go in any direction, but it has some limits on how far the distance that it can go, because what, it has a rope around its neck that's tied to that akhir that always keeps it yani from going roaming completely away, from going completely yani off and leaving Iman. He said, for this reason, in the narration that's mentioned in the book, he mentioned it, what? That the believer and Iman is like the horse that is tied to its akhir. It roams here and there, but it always returns to the akhir. He said the meaning here is that the believer might commit some sin, ma'asi, or zalal, or might slip or slide, and he makes some mistakes or errors, but he is quick to return to Iman. As long as he's holding tight to the rope of Iman, he's always going to return to it. And that is because Iman, it moves, it activates in the heart of the believer that which is necessary for them to return. That is at-tawbah, returning back to Allah and increasing in doing the righteous deeds which are the cause of expiation of whatever sins the person has fallen into. Then he quotes the author saying, وَكَذَلِكَ الْمُؤْمِنِ يعني, and likewise, this is the condition of the mu'min. And I think I didn't read this. Yeah, so let me go back to reading exactly the way the author mentioned in the book. He's quoting now from the author. After quoting this hadith, the author rahimahullah says, كَذَلِكَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. So, just like this is the mu'min, يَجُولُ مَا يَجُولُ فِي الْغَفْلَةِ وَالتَّجَرُّعِ عَلَى بَعْضِ الْأَثَامِ. So the believer does just like this. Sometimes he roams into al-ghafla. He's in a condition of ghafla, unmindfulness, inattentiveness. Yani in which condition a person might do different things that are not yani pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the believer might even yani dare to venture into committing some sins. ثُمَّ يَعُودُ سَرِيًا إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ. And then he hastens back to Iman. الَّذِي بَنَى عَلَيْهِ أُمُورُهُ كُلَّهَا. Yani the Iman that all of his affairs are based upon. The foundation is the Iman. Yani the meaning of this, that's the end of what the Shaykh said here to in terms of this particular hadith. But the meaning of this is that, as Ibn Athiyah mentions, the meaning of this hadith is what? That the believer might يَبْعَدُ عَنْ رَبِّهِ بِالذُّنُوبِ, might distance himself from his Rabb due to sins. Sins cause you to become distant from Allah, just as good deeds bring you near to Allah. So sins distance you from Allah. So the believer might distance himself from his Rabb due to sins. وَأَصْلُ إِمَانِهِ ثَابِتٌ. But the foundation of his Iman is firm. The foundation of his man is firm, and he's always going to go back to that. Then the author says, فَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and this is what he closes, the summary of this particular fruit, فَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ فِي جَمِيعِ تَقَلُّبَاتِهِمْ تَقَلُّبَاتِهِمْ وَتَصَرُّفَاتِهِمْ مَلْجَأُهُمْ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ وَمَفْرَعُهُمْ إِلَى تَحْقِيقِهِ وَدَفْعِ مَا يُنَافِهِ وَيُضَادُهُ وَذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَنِّهِ. Yani that the believers, in all of their situations and circumstances, تَقَلُّبَاتِهِمْ, yani in the changes that they're going through, whatever they're doing, go up and downs, Yani in their behavior and their conduct, their refuge is always back to Iman and tahqiq al-Iman. Yani the realization, the actualization of Iman in their life. Actualizing Iman in their life. This is what the believer always goes back to. And also repulsing everything that contradicts their Iman. Everything that opposes their Iman. And this condition of the believer always going back to Iman and trying to actualize and realize Iman in their life and to reject and to repulse everything that contradicts it or opposes it. He said, ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنِّهِ. This is actually the favor and bounty and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the believer. This is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives to whoever He wills. So the Shaykh closes, yani Shaykh Abdul Razak, he closes with this comment, yani that we read now from the source of the book, and he says that this taqallubat, yani the conditions of the believer, yani the various conditions of the believer, is what was referred to earlier, yani condition of being happy or being sad, being in fear, being in safety, being in condition of obedience to Allah or in disobedience of Allah. In every situation or circumstance, the believer always goes back to the Iman and the and he doing the things that actualize, yani that make Iman real, acting upon what is required by Iman and repulsing whatever opposes it or contradicts it. This is a favor indeed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the believers. So this is the end of the 15th fruit from the Arabic reading, numbering, and from the English reading, 16th fruit of Iman. So in Arabic, now we go to the next fruit. In English, I think it's 17. In Arabic, it's 16. The author, in Arabic on page 86, and in English on page 82, huh? 82. Here, before I start reading, I want to say that I have two copies of the book Shajarat al-Iman in Arabic, and on this particular point, they differ. They have the basic same information, but the arrangement of the paragraphs is different. Shaykh Abdul Razak actually mentions this in one of his durus. And when the student was reading, he was saying, read that again. And then he was telling him, no, try another copy of the book. And he read the same thing again the same way. And then he kind of left it. The next week he came back and explained the correct order. The correct order is the way we have it in the Arabic book that we're reading from. It's different than the order that is in the translation. Okay, so I'm going to try to help you a little bit to be able to follow it, because the arrangement of the speech is rearranged. Some things that came advanced and other things were delayed from the correct order of this particular fruit. So in order to help you with that a little bit, I'm going to try to point out where I'm going to be reading from first, where it's at in the English. And after we go to that, then you're going to come back to where it starts in English. I'll try to explain it as best I can. Wallahu musta'an. If you can't follow it, then just try to listen. Forget about the English. Forget about the English translation. Okay, this particular fruit. Let me watch the time. This particular fruit. He says, the author says, wa minha, and from the fruits of Iman, from the benefits of Iman, and al Iman as sahih, al Iman as sahih, yamna'u al abd min al wuqu'i. فِالْمُوبِقَاتِ الْمُهْلِكَةِ. That from the fruits of Iman is that the Iman that is sahih, the correct, authentic Iman, strong Iman, complete and perfect Iman, prevents the abd from falling into al-mubiqat, yani those sins which are destructive, that ruin a person, al-muhlika, that destroy a person. Iman, al-Iman al-sahih, prevents the abd from falling into such sins. Doesn't mean that the person who has correct and complete and perfect Iman, doesn't mean that they won't commit any sin, because kulli bani adam khata'un, every human being commits sins. But the mubiqat, those destructive sins that destroy a person, Iman, yani al-Iman al-Sahih, will prevent a person from committing those types of sins. And this is, he said, kama thabata fi sahih an nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu qala. And this has been confirmed in the Sahih, yani in the Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن. Yani the zani, the person who commits zina, yani illegal sexual relations, doesn't commit that act, yani while he's committing that act, and he's a mu'min at the same time. لا يزني الزاني حين يزني. At the time when he's actually committing that act, he's not a mu'min. ولا يسرق السارق حين يسرق وهو مؤمن. يعني the person who steals at the time when he's stealing, the thief when he's stealing, he doesn't do that while being a mu'min. وهو مؤمن. يعني while he's in a state of iman. ولا يشرب الخمر حين يشربها وهو مؤمن. And he doesn't drink the intoxicants and be at the same time while he's drinking it, and he can be described as a mu'min. Okay, this hadith is kind of a little bit difficult to translate, but let me just try to say the meaning of it is that while a person is committing zina, while a person is stealing, while a person is drinking alcohol, at that time while they're engaged in that sin, they are not a mu'min. And we're going to discuss actually what does that mean, they are not a mu'min. And probably the best view concerning this, as Imam Nawawi mentions, and I'll read it, is that it means that he doesn't have complete and perfect iman. It doesn't mean that the person is a kafir. If a person commits zina, he's a kafir. But that's the kind of literal meaning that you see here. Yani that the zani, person who's committing zina, at the time, hina yazni, at the time that he's doing that act, he's not a mu'min. Or the thief, or the person who's drinking alcohol. To the end of the hadith. And he just stops the hadith here. This hadith is reported, as we mentioned, by Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Okay, here the author has three paragraphs that he talks about this hadith in. The second paragraph is where the English translation starts. And the next paragraph, which is actually the third paragraph, he follows with, and then the first paragraph comes last at the end. Okay, so that's the problem in trying to follow. The first paragraph comes at the end, as though it's the third paragraph. And it's not even separate as a separate paragraph, it's connected to the third paragraph. The first one is connected to the third one, following it, which is just a mess. Okay? But if you want to try to follow in English, where I'm going to be reading from the first paragraph in Arabic, which comes at the end, as the end of this topic, is where in English, on page 82, the third line from the bottom of the page, near the end of the line, it says, therefore, when a believer is tempted to commit such deeds, the light of his faith prevents him from falling prey to them. That's where, from that paragraph, from that line, that's where I'm going to start reading from. That's where it actually starts at. And then everything else just follows after that. You just read to the end of what comes after that. So also there's some things left out too from the English. But in any case, that's so you can follow a little bit. From the bottom of page 82, third line from the bottom. Therefore, when a believer is tempted to commit such deeds, the light of his faith prevents him from falling prey to them. So the author, he says after this hadith, فَأَخْبَرَ يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet informs us in this hadith. The Shaykh is explaining the hadith, saying, فَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ إِذَا صَحِبَهُ عِنْدَ وُجُودْ أَسْبَابْ هَذِي الْفَوَاحِشِ فَإِنَّ النُّورَ إِيمَانِهِ يَمْنَعُهُ مِنَ الْوُقُوعِ فِيهَا مِنَ الْوُقُوعِ فِيهَا. So he has informed us. He means the Prophet in this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ has informed us that iman, إِذَا صَحِبَهُ عِنْدَ وُجُودْ أَسْبَابْ هَذِي الْفَوَاحِشِ. Yani if iman is accompanying a person at the time of the presence of the causes that cause a person to fall into these filthy sins, al-fawash, if a person's iman is present, فَإِنَّ نُورَ إِمَانِهِ, then the light of his iman will prevent him from falling into this type of sin. If his iman is present, it will prevent him from falling into this type of sin. So the person who has strong, complete, perfect iman, the iman, the light of the iman, and the other things that are part of iman will prevent that person from committing such a sin. Doesn't mean that a person who has perfect, good, and complete and perfect iman, they won't commit any sin, but they won't commit this kind of sin. Then he says, فَإِنَّ النُّورَ الَّذِي يَصْحَبُ الْإِيمَانَ الصَّادِقِ. الْإِيمَانَ الصَّادِقِ. that the light which accompanies truthful iman, sincere iman, real iman, the light that accompanies that kind of iman, number one, wa wujud halawat al-iman, and also the presence of the sweetness of iman. Yani the sweetness of iman that a person enjoys because of their iman, if they commit those sins, they will lose that sweetness. So that sweetness prevents them from doing something that will cause it to go away. Wal haya min Allah, third thing he mentions, the nur of his iman, and also the sweetness of iman. Wal haya min Allah, alladhi huwa min a'zam shu'b al-iman bila shak. And the haya, a person being shy in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, this haya from Allah is from the greatest branches of iman, without a doubt. It's from the greatest branches of iman. Haya min Allah. He said, these things yamna'u min muwaqa'ati hadhihi al-fawahish. These things prevent the person, the believer, from falling into such filthy, horrible sins. In this paragraph, he mentions three things. The nur that accompanies al-iman al-sadiq, the halawat al-iman, and haya min Allah. That these things prevent, yani, a person from falling into such sins. That's the first paragraph in Arabic, and it's the last, the end of this fruit in the English. Now, the first paragraph in English, right underneath the hadith, that's what I'm going to read from now. So you can just follow it from there now. From the first paragraph in English, underneath the hadith, that's what I'm going to read from now. He says, وَمَنْ وَقَعَتْ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ لِدَعَفِ إِمَانِهِ وَذَهَابِ نُورِهِ وَزَوَالِ الْحَيَاءِ مِمَّنْ يَرَاهُ حَيْثُ نَهَاهُ وَهَذَا مَعْرُوفٌ مُشَاهَدٌ وَمَنْ وَقَعَتْ مِنْهُ. Yani whoever falls into these, whoever, yani this type of sin is committed by a person, the reason for that, فَإِنَّهُ لِدَعَفْ إِمَانِهِ. The reason why a person commits this sin of zina, or drinking alcohol, or stealing, or such horrible sins, it is due to the weakness of his iman. وَذَهَابْ نُورِهِ, and the loss of its light, of his light, the light of his iman. وَزَوَالْ الْحَيَا, and also the disappearance or the cessation of the haya, the shyness, مِمَّنْ يَرَاهُ, shyness from the one who sees him, حَيْثُ نَهَاهُ, who sees him engaged in that which he has prohibited him from. Yani, the haya from Allah, who sees a person when they are committing that which he prohibited them from, that haya has gone. And that's how they're able to do it. He said, this is ma'ruf, well known, wa mushahad, and it is something witnessed that has been seen. That person engaged in these sins, number one, due to the weakness of the iman, number two, due to the loss of the light, his light, the light of his iman, and due to the cessation or the disappearance of the haya, yani the shyness from Allah, the one who sees the one committing this sin, yani sees him in that, yani engaged in that sin, yani the thing that he has prohibited him from. The last paragraph he says, and this is a very important paragraph, and he mentions five things here that he calls mukammilat al-iman. Mukammilat al-iman. The things that, yani, complete and perfect one's iman. Yani, they are part of iman. Remember we said that the foundation of iman is la ilaha illallah. But there are other aspects of iman. Besides the confession in the heart, there's speech on the tongue, there's actions of the limbs. Rather, there's actions of the heart as well. So there are things that complete and perfect iman. It's not just enough that a person in their heart believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then they have to have actions and speech and other things that are part of iman that complete and perfect it. Here he mentions five things as the mukammilat al-iman, and he said that these things, let me read it, wal iman as-sadiq as-sahih, the iman that is true iman, correct iman, يَسْحَبُهُ الْحَيَاءُ مِنَ اللَّهِ, is accompanied by having shyness from Allah. الْحَيَاء مِنْ اللَّهِ. Person knows that Allah sees them, that Allah hears them, that Allah knows even their thoughts. So they feel shy in front of Allah to do that which is displeasing to Him. So the true and correct iman is accompanied by number one, al-haya min Allah. Number two, al-hub lahu, loving Allah, love of Allah. True iman is accompanied by love of Allah. وَالرَّجَاءَ الْقَوِي لِثَوَابِهِ, and a strong hope for the reward of Allah. وَالْخَوْفُ مِنْ إِقَابِهِ, and fear from His punishment. وَالنُّورَ الَّذِي يُنَافِي الظُّلْمَ, and also the light which removes, which يعني rejects darkness, which removes darkness. He said, هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ, these things meaning the haya min Allah, shyness from Allah, love for Allah, hope for Allah's reward, fear of Allah's punishment, and the light which removes darkness. Yani light which removes darkness. So that if it's dark and there's no light, you can't see. But iman has with it a light that removes darkness so that you can see. So these things, he said, هذه الأمور التي هي من مكملات الإيمان, these things which are from the things which complete and perfect iman, which are necessary in order for your iman to grow and to increase and to be perfected. لا ريب أنها تأمر صاحبه بكل خير وتزجره عن كل قبيح. There's no doubt that these things, these matters from the مكملات الإيمان, there's no doubt that they command the one who has iman to do every type of good. And they, يعني, prevent, I want to say, تزجره, discourage him from, or her, from every evil, filthy deed. So iman and the things that complete and perfect iman, having haya from Allah, having a light, the light of iman, love, hope and fear. These are from the foundations of iman. Loving Allah, hoping in Allah's reward, fearing Allah's punishment. These things command the person to do good and discourage the person from doing evil. Good on time. So I want to mention here, maybe I should save the discussion of this hadith for last in case we run out of time. I'll just mention the commentary of Sheikh Abdul Razak first, just to make sure that we don't run out of time, because it's a lengthy discussion concerning this hadith from the explanation of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Sheikh Abdul Razak says that the author of the book rahimahullah says, wa minha, يعني من ثمار الإيمان, from the fruits of iman, is that iman, that's iman sahih, prevents a person from falling into the destructive sins. The Shaykh, he says here, لكن بهذا القيد الذي ذكر الإيمان الصحيح, and it prevents the person from falling into the major sins, but with this condition, with this qualification, not any iman, but iman الصحيح. As far as iman that's daif, it doesn't prevent the person. Why? Because it is weak. Al-Iman, al-Da'if, it's weak. So it doesn't prevent the person from committing such things. So his falling, وَيَكُونُ وُقُوعُهُ فِي تِلْكَ الْمَعَاسِي سَبَبُهُ دَعَفْ إِمَانِي. So the reason why a person falls into these sins, the cause of it, is the weakness of one's iman. Here, at this point, I'm saying now, this is not from the Shaykh, I'm just commenting on what he said here, that this is a reason for us to take care, to strengthen our iman. Because the reason why we fall into such sins is because of the weakness of iman. Therefore, a person should be motivated to do everything that we talked about. We talked about what are the things that strengthen iman. To strengthen one's iman, so that iman can protect a person from falling into such sins. This is a proof that a person's iman, if it were قوي, صحيح, if it was strong and it was correct, لم يقع فيها, then it would not have fallen into such sins. Therefore, from the magnificent fruits of iman, is that if that iman is strong, If it is strengthened, it becomes strong, it will prevent the person who has that iman from committing those destructive sins. He said, this understanding, that iman, strong, correct iman, prevents a person from falling into those sins, and that weak iman is the cause of a person falling into those sins. He said, this understanding comes from the hadith, which the author, rahimahullah, mentions, the hadith that we just read, لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن, that the person, the zani, Allah, the Prophet ﷺ describes that person in this hadith as a zani. لا يزني الزاني. He didn't say لا يزني العبد, لا يزني المؤمن, لا يزني الزاني. The person who's committing zina at the time, حين يزني, at the time they committed, he's not a mu'min. And likewise, the thief, at the time when they are stealing, is not a mu'min, and the person who's drinking alcohol at the time they're drinking alcohol is not a mu'min at the time that they're engaging in that. The shaykh, he says here, so here he quotes what the author said in the book, yani concerning this hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith is informing us that if a person has iman, at the time when the conditions or the circumstances that call a person to commit these sins become present, at the time when those things are happening, if a person has iman, then the light of his iman will prevent him from falling into them. And then he says, so the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, لا يزني الزاني حين يزني, that the zani doesn't commit zina at the time when they're doing that, and they are a believer, he said, this is a dalil, a proof, that if yani zina is committed, if it occurs, then this is a proof of what? He said, it's a proof of weakness of iman, and the weakness of their deen. And likewise, stealing and drinking alcohol, if this occurs, this is a dalil, a proof of the weakness of that person's iman and the weakness of their iman, of their deen. While, if the iman is qawi, strong, and sahih, correct, it will prevent the one who possesses it from falling into such sins. And then he brings a benefit, Shaykh Abdul Razak gives us a benefit before we go to the Imam Nawawi's discussion concerning this hadith. He brings a benefit. He says, وَمِمَّا يَسْتَفَادُ مِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ وَصَبَقًا أَوْرَدَهُ رَحِمَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنَّ تَرْكَ الْمَعَاسِي دَاخِلٌ فِي الْمُسَمَّى الْإِيمَانِ. Yani that one of the things that we benefit from this hadith, and the author mentioned it previously under another topic, one of the things that we benefit from this hadith is that abandoning sin, yani the act of abandoning sin, is a part of what is called iman. This is a part of iman. So just as iman is doing acts of obedience, that's iman, so iman likewise is abandoning acts of disobedience and sin. So the abandonment of sin is a part of what is called iman. Yani iman, what is called iman, part of that is doing acts of obedience, like salat and siyam and hajj and sadaqah and other than that. And likewise, also a part of iman, in the same way a part of iman, is abandoning sin and distancing oneself from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just as doing acts of obedience is iman, abandoning sin, haya'an min Allah, yani out of shyness to Allah, khawf minhu, wa takharrubun ilayhi, yani whoever abandons the sin, not because the police are watching, or because the imam is watching, but abandoning sin out of shyness in front of Allah, out of fear of Allah, out of seeking nearness to Allah, this abandonment of sin is a part of what is called iman. Just as the Muslim is rewarded for doing righteous actions, yani those actions that he does seeking nearness to Allah, so likewise he is also rewarded for abandoning sin. If he does that, abandons that sin out of fear of Allah and seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah in Aqidah al-Hamawiyyah and Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Taymiyyah rahimahullah in his explanation of Hamawiyyah goes into this point that he just mentioned here in detail. If anybody goes back to that, is tremendous explanation concerning this point, that not only doing good deeds is iman, but abandoning sin. If it's done out of fear of Allah, if it's done seeking the pleasure of Allah, if it's done, yani the intent behind it is seeking nearness to Allah, that is also iman. And we said previously on more than one occasion that every act that a person does, every good deed that a person does, every act of obedience that a person does is iman. And here we are saying that every sinful, disobedient act that a person leaves out of fear of Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah, seeking nearness to Allah, that's also iman. Everything that a person does or says that is an act of obedience to Allah is iman. And everything that a person abandons, whether speech or action, yani that they abandon for the sake of Allah, is also iman. Okay, the hadith that we mentioned tonight, that the zani at the time when they're committing zina is not a believer, in the explanation of Sahih Muslim by Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he has a lengthy discussion concerning this. I'm going to read some of it. So after he mentions the hadith, he has bab bayan nuqsan al-iman bil ma'asi, yani the chapter concerning the clarification of the defect of iman due to sinning, due to acts of sin. Defect of iman due to acts of sin. And then subtitle, وَنَفْيِهِ عَنَ الْمُتَلَبِّسِ بِالْمَعَسِيَةِ عَلَىٰ إِرَادَةِ نَفْيِ كَمَالِهِ. Yani, the clarification that iman becomes defective due to committing sins, and the negation of iman from the one who is actually enveloped, engaged in that sin, the negation of the iman, عَلَىٰ إِرَادَةِ نَفْيِ كَمَالِهِ. Yani, intending by negation of iman here, the negation of the completion or perfection of iman. Not negation of iman outright. But what is intended is the negation of complete and perfect iman. Yani meaning that we're not saying the person is not a believer, we're saying that they are a believer. But naqas al-iman. But the iman is defective. So, Imam Nawawi says, after mentioning this hadith and some of the other narrations and the extra wording that's not mentioned in the book here, he says, هَذَا الْحَدِيثُ مِمَّا اخْتَلَفَ الْعُلُمَاء فِي مَعْنَاهُ. This hadith is from those which the scholars of Islam differed concerning what is its meaning. Yani meaning, what is the meaning of he's not a believer? What is meant by the negation of iman here? فَالْقَوْلَ السَّحِيِّ, Imam Nawawi says, رحمه الله, فَالْقَوْلَ السَّحِيِّ الَّذِي قَالَهُ الْمُحَقِّقُونَ. Yani the correct view concerning this, which is the saying of the meticulous scholars, yani of Islam, those who are meticulous in Islam, yani who are following the Quran and Sunnah and sticking to the fundamentals of Islam, correct rules of Islam. Those scholars, their view is that ma'anahu, the meaning of this hadith is la yaf'alu hadhihi al-ma'asi wa huwa kamil al-iman. That a person doesn't commit these types of sins while he is perfect in his iman. Yani, while his condition is kamil al-iman. He doesn't commit such sins. That's what the intended meaning is here. And this is important because some people may say, I read a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the zani, while he's committing zina, he's not a believer. So he went out of Islam, he's a kafir. And that's not correct. That's not correct. So this is what Imam Nawawi says, that this is the view, the correct view, from the meticulous scholars of Islam. And he said this type of expression, yani the negation of iman, for example, from a person, he said this type of expression, what is intended by it is the negation of its perfection, or the negation of that which is the best of something, not the negation of it outright. And then he gives examples. Like it is said, la ilma illa ma nafa'a, that there is no knowledge except that which benefits. But there is knowledge that's not beneficial. And the Prophet ﷺ sought refuge from knowledge that's not beneficial. But when you say there's no knowledge except that which is beneficial, meaning the best of knowledge, the knowledge that is worth seeking, is only the knowledge that benefits. وَلَا مَالَ إِلَّا الْإِبْلِ, and there's no wealth except camels. Yani, there's other wealth besides camels, but that's the best of it. وَلَا عَيْشَ عَيْشَ إِلَّا عَيْشَ الْآخِرَةِ, and there's no life except the life of the hereafter. There's life in the dunya too, but the real life, the best of life, is the life of the akhirah. So he's saying this type of expression is known. Yani, it's something that is known in Islam and known in Arabic language. He said, but the reason why we have interpreted this hadith in this way, not in the literal sense, that the person is not a kafir. The reason why we have interpreted it this way, he said for five reasons, or four reasons. Number one, we have interpreted this due to the hadith of Abi Dharr, radiallahu anhu, and other than him, who said that the Prophet ﷺ said, من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة وإن زنى وإن سرق. That whoever said La ilaha illallah will enter the paradise, even if he committed zina, fornication or adultery, even if he stole. So this is a proof that the Prophet doesn't intend, he's not a believer at all. But some other meaning is intended. Not that if a person committed zina, khalas, they left Islam, they became a kafir. No. But rather, yani the iman became imperfect due to this kind of sin. He said the second reason is the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, which is sahih and is well known, that when they gave allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they gave allegiance ala and la yasriqu wa la yaznu wa la ya'asu to the end of the hadith. That they pledged to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we will not steal and we will not commit zina and we will not do acts of disobedience. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, فَمَنْ وَفَّى مِنْكُمْ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. So whoever keeps that commitment that you made, then his reward is with Allah. A great reward. Unlimited. And he just said his reward is on Allah. It means that you can't imagine what it could be. وَمَنْ فَعَلَ شَيْئًا مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَعُوقِبَ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَهُوَ كَفَّارَتُهُ. And whoever commits one of those sins that you promised not to do, if you did commit it, and you are punished for it in this world, then it will be a kafara, expiation for him. Meaning that person will not be punished again in the next life. وَمَنْ فَعَلَ وَلَمْ يُعَاقَبْ. But the person who commits one of these things and didn't get the punishment in this world for it, فَهُوَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Then that person will be, left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنْ شَاءَ عَفَى عَنْهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُ. If Allah wills, He will pardon him. And if Allah wills, He will punish him. Yani the person who commits these sins, that we make a commitment when we enter Islam, that we're not going to commit zina, we're not going to steal, we're not going to kill, we're not going to do all of this. So if a person commits, if he keeps that commitment, then his reward is tremendous. But if he commits any of those sins and he's punished for it in this world, it will be an expiation for him. He will not be punished again in the next life. But if he commits it and he's not punished, maybe a person thinks they escaped. But Yawmul Qiyamah, everybody will be called to account, right? If he committed it and he was not punished for it in this world, then he will be left to Allah, to the Mashiach of Allah. If Allah wills, Allah may pardon him for that. If Allah wills, Allah may punish him. So these two hadith, the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit and the hadith of Abi Dharr radiallahu anhumah, he said, it is due to these two hadith and the like of them that are authentic, that we have reinterpreted this hadith so that the meaning of it can't be that if a person commits zina that he left Islam. That can't be the meaning. And he said, thirdly, another proof that that can't be the meaning is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَيُّشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. That Allah doesn't forgive the person who commits shirk with him if they die upon it. But he forgives anything less than that to whoever he wills. So if a person commits zina, Allah may forgive them if he wills. If the person steals, Allah may forgive them. If the person drinks, Allah may forgive them if he wills. He may forgive them if he wills. Doesn't mean that they went out of Islam. And fourthly, he said, مَا إِجْمَاءَ أَهْلِ الْحَقِّ عَلَى أَنَّ الزَّانِي وَالسَّارِقُ وَالْقَاتِلُ وَغَيْرُهُمْ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْكَبَائِرِ غَيْرُ الشِّرْكِ لَا يَكْفُرُونَ بِذَلِكَ. Yani that there is ijma from the people of truth, meaning the Ahl al-Sunnah, the people upon the truth. Forget about the people of deviation. But the people of truth have ijma upon the fact that the person who commits zina, and the person who steals, and the person who kills, and other people who commit major sins other than shirk, anything other than shirk, then they do not go out, they do not become kafir. They do not become la yakfuruna. They are not declared to be a kafir due to those sins. There's ijma upon this from the people of truth. Rather, he said, hum mu'minuna naqisul iman. But rather, they are believers whose iman is defective. In tabu saqatat uqubatu. So if they repented, the punishment will be lifted from them. وَإِنْ مَاتُوا مُصَرِّينَ عَلَى الْكَبَائِرِ كَانُوا فِي الْمَشِيئَةِ. But if they die while continuing to commit those major sins, not repenting from them, then that person will be subject to the Mashiach, to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wills, He will pardon them. and enter them, admit them into paradise, awwalan, yani without any punishment. Wa in sha'a adhabahum, and if he wills, he will punish them. Thumma adkhalahum al-jannah, yani thaniyan, and then if Allah wills, he may punish them justly for their sins, and then he will admit them into the paradise, yani after their punishment. Wa kullu hadhihi al-adilla, and these proofs, yani the ayah from the Quran, the ijma, the hadith, and so on, he said these proofs forced us to give an explanation, a ta'wil of this hadith other than its apparent meaning. Because these proofs prove that it can't have that apparent meaning, that the person went out of Islam for committing zina. ثُمَّ إِنَّ هَذَا تَعْوِيلُ ظَاهِرٌ سَاعِدٌ فِي اللُّغَةِ مُسْتَعَمَلْ فِيهَا كَثِيرٌ. This type of explanation, ta'wil, explaining something outside of its apparent meaning, this is yani permissible, yani in Islam, in the Arabic language, it's well known and it is used often, much, a lot. Yani that something is explained if there's a proof to explain that it doesn't mean what it appears to be. And then he says, and he closes with this in terms of this meaning of the hadith. He says, إِذَا وَرَدَ حَدِيثًا مُخْتَلِفًا ظَاهِرٌ, yani that if two hadith came and they appear to be contradictory on the surface, then it is obligatory to reconcile between them. Yani to jam, yani wajaba al jam baynahuma. Yani to reconcile between them, meaning to find a way that they both, that neither of them is rejected, yani where we can reconcile between the apparent, to remove the apparent contradiction. And this is what happened here, yani that there are hadith, this hadith under discussion and other hadith that he mentions here, which appear to be contradictory, so it is obligatory to make al-jam, yani to reconcile between them, and this is what we have done. The last thing we're going to close with, we have the hour right now. The last thing we're going to close with is some of the other interpretations of the scholars of Sunnah. Imam Nawawi says, the scholars have explained this hadith with various explanations. Some of them are definitely mistaken. We have left them. But as far as those that are possible, that are conceivable, that could be correct, he mentions some of the other explanations of this hadith. Okay, the first explanation he says, قَالَ بَعْدُ الْعُلَمَاءِ, some of the scholars explain this hadith, عَلَى مَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ مُسْتَحِلًا لَهُ مَا عِلْمِهِ بِوُرُودِ الشَّرْ بِتَحْرِيمِهِ. This is an explanation. That's possible. Yani that this hadith may really mean that a person became a kafir. If the person did that, declaring that zina is halal, while he knows that the sharia came making it haram. Two things here. That he did it, declaring it to be lawful, even though he knows that there's sharia text in the Quran and the Sunnah declaring it to be haram. And then he said later for that, it's halal. This is one explanation. That the person who does that sin, declaring it to be halal while he knows, not out of ignorance, but he knows that the sharia declared it to be haram, then he became a kafir. The second explanation, the explanation of Hassan al-Basri and Abu Ja'far, Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari, the imam of the scholars of tafsir. They said, ma'anahu yanzi'u minhu ismu al-madh alladhi yusammi bihi awliya Allah al-mu'mineen. That the name of praise that the awliya of Allah, the believing, yani awliya of Allah, the believers, the people who have iman and taqwa, the name that they are, the praiseworthy name that they are called with, yani mu'min, that praiseworthy name is removed from this person while they are committing that sin. That's why Allah called him in the hadith, la yazni al-zani. He didn't say la yazni al-mu'min. He said la yazni al-zani. So the name mu'min, which is the name that's describing the people of iman and taqwa, is removed from him. So Allah calls him zani, calls him sariq, calls him whatever, from the sin that he's committing. He said that this is a second interpretation of this hadith, that Allah is saying they are not a believer, meaning that name of iman that belongs to the people of iman and taqwa is removed from him. Not that he became a kafir. So he said, and he, and that person at that point, because of that sin, yastahiqqu ism al-dhamm. So now the name of praise of being called a believer is removed from him, and rather he is worthy of the name of the blameworthy name which is in accordance with the deed that he's doing, sariqun, zanin, fajir, fasiq. Yani that he's a thief, that he's a fornicator, adulterer, that he is a shameless, sinful person, that he is disobedient. Yani that this type of name is, this is what he's worthy of, not the name of a mu'min. A third interpretation, he said it has been narrated from Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. أَنَّ مَعَنَاهُ يُنْزَعُ مِنْهُ نُورَ الْإِيمَانِ يعني that the meaning here is not that he became a kafir, but the light of Iman. That light that the Shaykh mentions in the book, the light that what? That enables a person to see. It removes darkness so that a person can see. When a person is doing that, the light of Iman is removed from them. So now the person became blinded, like a person walking in darkness with no light whatsoever. They don't know where they're going, what they're doing. The light of Iman is removed from him. And he said, Imam Nawawi says, and this has been narrated in a hadith that's attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wording of that hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from Ibn Abbas, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من زنى نزع الله نور الإيمان من قلبه فإن شاء أن يرده إليه رَدَّهُ. That whoever commits zina, Allah removes the light of Iman from his heart. And if Allah wills, he may return it to him. What if a person dies in that condition? Allahu musta'an. And that's why yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَلَا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Yani, don't die except in a state of Islam, in a state of obedience to Allah. Because if a person dies in that state, while Allah has removed the light of Iman from their heart, what condition they're in? That's a dangerous position to be in. The last view that he gave, Az-Zuhri, yani from the great scholars of the Tabi'een, rahimahullah, he said, هذا الحديث وما أشباهه. This hadith and the likes of it. Other hadith that are similar to this, يؤمنوا بها, they are to be believed in. ويمروا على ما جاءت ولا يخادوا في معناها وأن لا نعلم معناها. يعني that this type of hadith, we just believe in it and we take it on the surface just as it came to us, and we don't become engrossed delving into its meaning, trying to figure out what it actually means. Accept it as it is and acknowledge that we don't really know, yani, the full meaning of it, the actual meaning of it. Allah knows best. He said we accept it on the surface, yani, amirruha kama amarraha man qablakum. Yani, accept it just on its surface, just as the people before you did. Meaning the earlier generations of Muslims, they just took it for what it was and left it at that. And perhaps what we can understand from this is that if a person just takes it on the surface without giving any interpretation to it, person committing zina is not a mu'min while they're doing that. That's enough to frighten any person who has iman to leave those things. Forget about trying to give it an interpretation that might lighten the threat in that hadith and make a person feel like, ah, not that bad, maybe I can get away with it. No, just leave it like it is. And that should be enough for any person to be afraid. As Imam Shawkani said, concerning the person who abandons salat, that he's a kafir. He said, some of the scholars said, yani, that this kufr is, yani, kufr in actions, not kufr i'tiqadi. Meaning that they're doing the actions of a kafir. So he said, but just leave it like it is. That is kufr. Because the believer, if they know that something is kufr, just like that, that's scary, that's frightening. But if, oh, it's only kufr in actions, that's less. Yani, kufr doing a kufr. So it's not so bad, maybe a person might take it lightly and then fall into those sins. So anyway, Imam Nawawi closes here, he says, there are other meanings that have been given for this particular hadith, but we have left them because they are mistaken. So these sayings which we have mentioned here, all of them are possible. All of them are possible, however the most correct of them is what we mentioned first, and that what is intended by this hadith is that a person doesn't commit this type of sin while their iman is complete and perfect. And it means this is an indication of the defect of a person's iman. This is what we want to do.
Cover for today, inshallah, we have one fruit remaining.